I know we assume everybody's heard the gospel, but I talk to people who have been going to church most of their lives, and I say, just tell me what the gospel is, simply, and they can't. So they're believers, but they don't have an ability to tell others what the gospel is. How are people going to hear it if we don't tell them what it is? So Jesus is willing to save them, wanting to save them, died and paid the price for all sin, mine and yours and theirs, but they haven't looked to Jesus. They're waiting. They're waiting for something to happen.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word with our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. A healed man breaks the Sabbath law and is questioned by the Jewish leadership about Jesus as our study of John continues in chapter 5, verse 10. Here's Pastor Bob.
The Jews, verse 10, therefore, said unto him, therefore, when you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for. What? He picked up his little mat, his bed, picked up that little mat he was laying on, and he carried it, and he walked on. Well, you know, when it says the Jews, it's not talking about everybody that's a Jew. When you find this term, you're commonly talking about the Jewish leadership, the leaders. The powers that be. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, that was healed, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. The spiritual leaders, the holy guys, say, don't carry it. And the Lord God Almighty says, carry it. Who are you going to listen to? Really? You sure? You say that now. But when other people start telling you to quit doing this and quit doing that, and you got to go to church on Saturday or you'll go to hell, and they start, are you really going to listen to that? Even if the government starts to say that to you? It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them. I love this guy's answer. He doesn't know what to say. He knows that that goes against the Sabbath, you know, practices. He knows that. But this guy healed me. And he doesn't know who he is. He healed me and he told me to pick it up and take it home, so I am. He answered and said, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. I'm just doing what he told me. Then they asked him, what man is that which said to you, take up thy bed and walk? Who? Point him out to us. Show us the guy that said that to you. And he that was healed wist not who it was, in our language, didn't know who it was. He didn't know. He didn't catch his name. He didn't even ask his name. He has no idea who just healed him. He knows it's the power of God, but he doesn't know who the guy was he was talking to. Doesn't even know a name. He says, he that was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Put all that together. Those verses 10 through 13. After 38 years of not being able to walk, and from what Jesus is going to say to him in a few verses here, it looks like he was much older than 38 because he did walk for a while. And Jesus is going to say something that'll kind of hint at that. After 38 years of not being able to walk, here is this man carrying his own bed. He hasn't walked in 38 years, carrying a mat that he used to be laying on, walking away from the pools, walking wherever he's going to. Well, I know he's going to go to the temple. I read ahead. He may have taken his bed home first. I don't know where he lived, but I know he's going to the temple. And of course, we're already told it's the Sabbath day. So the Jewish leaders, challenged him. They stopped. You see, they are the hypocrites. It's the Sabbath day. The Jewish leaders challenge him. They stop him and challenge him. They don't know he hadn't walked in 38 years. I don't think they care. Who cares? They don't care about this man. Jesus loves him. They don't care about this guy. And all they see is there's this idiot walking, carrying his bed. He's got to know it's the Sabbath. What is this guy's problem? We got to fix this fool. So they stopped him, challenged him. The scribes, just for your own background, just for your own notes, the scribes listed 39 tasks, 39. Don't ask me why not 40. Don't ask me why not 38, an even number. 39 tasks that were absolutely forbidden on the Sabbath. 39 of them. And aren't you glad we're not under the law and have to go memorize that list? And everybody that tells me, well, I live by the law. Really? Name the 39 things you're not allowed to do on the Sabbath. Ready? Go. They don't know. They don't know. And they think you're weird for even bringing it up. I didn't bring it up. You did. You said you live by the law. 39 tasks that were absolutely forbidden on the Sabbath. Carrying a burden was one of them. A burden would be anything. Pretty soon, a burden was so light, it wasn't even a pound or a half a pound. Now he's carrying this mat. Instead of rejoicing at this miraculous ability for this man to walk, the religious leaders condemn him for carrying his bed, thereby breaking the Sabbath. His answer was, he doesn't know what to say. They are the holy ones. They're the best Israel's got to offer. They are the ones with the robes. They are the Bible scholars. And now they're chastising him. He's in trouble. And I'm sure he's a little nervous. And his answer is, I love his answer. The one who healed me told me to get up and pick up my mat and go home. All I'm doing is just doing what I'm told. Well, we're telling you to put it down. They challenge him again. Really? Somebody told you that. And who do you think that somebody is? Who is it? Point him out to us. We'll fix this guy. Who is this person that dared to tell you to break Sabbath tradition? Who is the guy? Show him to us. Point him out. Where is he? He didn't know Jesus' name. He didn't know. I don't know. He couldn't point Jesus out in that large crowd because Jesus, once he healed this individual, notice of the thousand that needed to be healed, nobody even gave him a look. Nobody. Do you know how many people there are that come to church that don't belong to the Lord and they never even give him a look, but they were here with everybody else? Jesus didn't just pick this guy and say, I really like you. Something about you that is so cool. No. The man paid attention to Jesus, gave Jesus his attention. Jesus healed everyone that would listen to him and everyone that came to him, right? What does he do? He doesn't know what to say. But notice this, Jesus is simply gone. He walked on. Don't know where he's headed. To the temple eventually. That's where everyone goes on these feast days. Whether it's a one-day feast or a three-day, whatever it is, you're going to be at the temple. And so you probably figure that you can find Jesus there somewhere, but they don't know who they're looking for. And he doesn't know who he's looking for. I probably recognize him if I see him again, but I don't know. So look at verse 14. Because Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place, so crowded, he looked around, he didn't see Jesus. Jesus had moved on. Afterward, Jesus found him. Maybe you should underline that in your Bible. Jesus found him. King James, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews, the religious leaders, it was Jesus which had made him whole. So sometime later, I don't know, we're not given a time frame. Sometime later, Jesus found this man that he had healed. He found him in the temple area. Now, if you read through the law, you know that this lame man would have been forbidden to enter into worship, right? So he hasn't been in the temple in 38 years because he couldn't because of his handicap. The language suggests not that Jesus stumbled across. Oh, hey, I saw you this morning. Nice seat. What up? No, it suggests that Jesus came to the temple and looked for him there. Got some unfinished business. He was healed, but he needs a heart change, everybody. He was healed. Remember, everybody that got healed didn't get born again. Thousands of people were fed when he fed the thousands, and they weren't saved. Thousands of people were healed, and demons were cast out of them. But that doesn't make them saved, right? You've got to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, right? He doesn't even know who it is. So Jesus comes looking for him. Jesus tells him, see or realize this. You've been made whole. You're healed completely, 100%. And says, you need to realize this. See this or look. You've been made whole, completely healed. Go and sin no more. He said that to you and me too. How did we do? Yeah, I know. Don't say it out loud. Go and sin no more. But wait, lest something worse come upon you. What could be worse than not being able to walk for 38 years of your life? You've been made whole. Now you need to live a whole new way. You need to go from this place when you go with a heart to follow God, with a heart to walk in the light by God's grace and mercy. Your heart set on trusting the Lord, walking in his ways, walking in his will. See something that I think is easy to miss. See it here. Jesus is interested not merely in healing this individual's body. That's good. It's important. And he did it freely, no charge. But far more important is the healing of this man's soul from sin. True? Just being able to get up and walk, That'd be great after 38 years, but there's something that you got to know here. And Jesus' words, I think it reminds me, it reminds you, reminds every one of us, that those of us that have received Jesus Christ, freedom and privilege carries responsibilities. It does. We live in a country where we're the most free country, or well, used to be, in the world. But what that carries with it, responsibilities. You got to live a certain way. You got to act a certain way. What does Jesus mean when he says, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you? Here's what he's reminding that man, telling that man, and every one of us, if we'll get it, sin has far more terrible results than physical sickness or physical difficulties. Did you know that? Sin has far more terrible results than just that. Those who die in their sins are condemned to eternal wrath and anguish, separated from the Lord God Almighty forever. Go and sin no more. Walk now in the light. Why? Because you do not want to be separated from the Lord God, your mighty, for all eternity. That's much worse than not being able to walk on this earth, or not being able to see, or not be able to use your hands, or not be able to think well, right? We all think everything that's wrong with us physically is just the most terrible thing in the world. Though the most terrible thing is to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Dr. Wolford writes it this way. Jesus' warning to this man was that his tragic life of 38 years as an invalid was no comparison to the doom of hell. Get it? 38 years would be hard. Eternity is harder. So he's wanting this man to realize what God has done. What did the man do? He went his way. And now he has met Jesus. Now he knows who he is. I think it's at that point he probably believes in him, it looks like. Now he realizes who's talking to him. This is that prophet. This is that. So he goes, now that he's met Jesus, and he tells the Jews, the spiritual leaders, that man that healed me is Jesus. He healed me, told me to rise up and take up my bed and walk. That was Jesus. Here's what I like about this. Now, they're jealous already. These religious leaders were a little worried because Jesus was baptizing, well, his disciples. Jesus' ministry was growing bigger than John the Baptist. They were worried about John. He was cutting in on some of their prophet, cutting in on some of their preaching time. Now, Jesus, his disciples were baptizing more than John. More people were coming out to listen to Jesus. So the Jewish leaders were starting to be afraid of him. Not because they thought he was God, but because he's stealing their church. Jesus went to the temple, everybody, and on purpose found this man that he had healed. Did you hear that? He found him. Now, how did you get saved? Didn't you get saved the same way? Whether you were sitting here in church or sitting out there in a field, or you were in a foreign land, or you were in a women's study or a men's, or wherever you listened on the radio in your car, Jesus came into that car, came into that church, came into that tent revival meeting. Jesus showed up and came looking for you, didn't he? He did. You have to acknowledge him, or you have to just say, I'm not interested in bother with you. There's important things out there. The story is told of a little boy who answered when someone said, young man, have you found Jesus? This little boy gave this answer. Sir, I didn't know Jesus was lost, but I was, and he sure found me. Get it? Jesus went to the temple specifically looking for that man. Why? Because he had been healed. And he wants the guy to know it's me and there's something more important than this life. And I love you and I want you to realize, be careful. Walk in such a way. Walk with the Lord. Because something worse comes upon you, and that's separation from God for all eternity. And you say, I don't believe it. Don't wait till you believe it. It'll be too late. You will believe it. You know, Jesus came looking for me, not in the temple. I didn't know there was such a thing, never gave it a thought. I was on an island of Guam. He came to the island, he found me, and he saved me. Now remember back to when he came and found you. And what he did after he saved me, he did the same thing as he said to this man. He called me to walk on in him. That's all. I didn't even know what that means. I was a brand new believer, so were you. I know what it means, but I just want to walk in Jesus. What does that mean? Well, grab a Bible and let's start in Genesis 1:1, and here we go. He came looking for you. Remember that? Remember, just take a moment. Remember, if you maybe you don't know the exact date. I just know the exact date of mine, but maybe you don't know the exact date. That's okay. It's not a sin. But there has to be a time where you remember willingly surrendering to Jesus Christ, asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life. Maybe not with those words. He came looking for you, and he found you, and he saved you there, right there. And then he called you what? Walk on with him, to walk on. And he gives you his Holy Spirit, so you don't have to do this alone. He is looking for some right now. Right now, he is looking for some, wanting to save them. He's looking for you, some of you, wanting to save you, and to call you to walk on also. That's what Jesus is doing, if we will hear him. at the pool of Bethesda, those five covered porches that surrounded that pool, there were so many people that you couldn't count them. There were multitudes. So ask yourself some basic questions like a detective. How many were there? Lots and lots. A number so big, you couldn't count them. So you can make up a number. I don't care. There were 800. There were 2,000. It was so much. It was crowded, packed. No more room. And only one person was healed. Do you think, honestly, that Jesus loved that one more than he loved all the rest of those who were there specifically so they could be healed also? Do you really think that Jesus only, I know something about you, Bob, you're just cute. You think that's why he saved me? You think that's why he saved you? Well, some of us, duh. But I mean, do you really think he didn't care about all the other few thousand that were there that day? You know he did. You know he did. If someone would have been paying attention instead of staring off over there and or fighting with the person that they're saying, hey, I was here first, back off, dude, right? Don't you think if someone would have realized that that man that couldn't walk stood up, like someone right next to him, they were concentrating so hard on everything else, they didn't even see this guy get up and walk away. If they'd have looked, don't you think they'd have looked and said, what just happened here? Who are you? Don't you think Jesus would have said, you want to be healed too? Yes, sir, I do. Are you kidding? One person was healed. Why didn't he heal more? Because none of them looked to him for anything. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because first, you have to believe that God exists by faith. And second, you have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who look for him, who diligently seek him. True? When God calls you, and you don't bother me, I don't care who you are, you know what? I got a test tomorrow, I'm studying, right? Or you can say, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. Just like little Samuel's going to say coming up soon. None of them even acknowledged him. They were too busy into themselves, too busy watching the water, waiting for it to move. You see, God's going to do something out there. God's standing right here, right almost next to you. You could touch him if you wanted to. I know, but I got to do this. This is how it happened. This is how it works. Churches are guilty of saying the only way God heals is, and then they set up little rooms. Prayer, healing rooms. Find one in the scriptures. Find one. You can't. They're not there. And they're starting to say, well, you know, come to this room. Look, God can heal you in by the pool. He can heal you in your bedroom. He can heal you in the hospital. God can heal you anywhere he wants to heal you. Why didn't he heal more? I wanted him to heal more. None of them would acknowledge him. Too busy having their eyes somewhere else. There are multitudes in our world today, right now, where you work, the people you hang around, where you go to school, where you shop, there are multitudes. The number is so big, we can't count them. That don't belong to Jesus. Is Jesus willing to touch them? Is he? I mean, he could heal them, and they could still go to hell, true? They don't have to receive him, right? This guy was healed and had no idea what had gone on. But Jesus came looking for him and said, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. Now that you're healed, think about this, right? There are multitudes who aren't saved, many, many. I think Jesus is willing to save every one of them, every one of them. Is he willing to save them? Yes. But they haven't looked to him yet.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com www.wordofgod.org/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.